Welcome back to another episode of Bases Loaded. Our first one after a, two-week hiatus. Typical schedule, we'll do NFL recap from weeks 8 and 9, as well as baseball, MLB season wrapping up, was it last week? As the Texas Rangers win their first ever World Series, beating the Arizona Diamondbacks 4-1, as well as we have some pretty shocking manager hiring that took place yesterday that we'll get into, and then we'll do early NBA season kind of reaction recap, kind of thoughts and all that stuff as we are, as of recording, 2 weeks into the season. So, we'll start with baseball, because that's over, and now we're off officially into like the off-season stuff like that. Like I said, we had the Texas Rangers winning the first ever World Series, beating the Arizona Diamondbacks 4-1. Not the most, I would say, interesting World Series. I read, or I saw, I guess, and kind of read a little bit of it, that it was the lowest watched World Series ever. I guess kind of like, I don't know, I just, if like, you know, you're a baseball fan, like, you know, diehard baseball fan like me, you're going to watch it regardless of who's playing. Obviously, if you're a Rangers or a Diamondbacks fan, you are watching it, but like, some maybe more casual people are going to not entirely pay attention. You know, it probably wasn't, you know, a big marquee matchup that would have gotten, like, you know, a lot of viewers, like a, you know, Braves, Astros rematch, a Dodgers-Astros rematch of World Series, maybe like a, maybe if it was something like Phillies or against the Orioles or something like that, then maybe it would have drawn interest. I mean, it kind of had, you know, the headline of like, you know, two teams that had not been in the World Series for a while. This was Texas's first World Series appearance since 2011 and Arizona's first appearance since winning it all in 2001. So, I mean, some fairly pretty, you know, new teams in it, not teams we've seen in a while, as we've drove into the past with like the Dodgers and Astros and, you know, teams like that. But, you know, let's see, like game one was pretty wild. That was probably the best game. Arizona had a two-run lead going into the bottom of the ninth. Torrey Seager tied with a two-run homer, and then Adelis Garcia walked it off in, I believe, the 11th? I think so, yeah. And then Arizona won back, won game two, you know, to go back to Arizona. You know, with at least this, with the series tied, one game apiece, and then, you know, Texas wound up winning all three games in Arizona, including game four, which was a game four had, like, it was, you know, a blowout to begin with. Like it was 10-0, Texas by the end of three. And then Arizona scored a run, you know, 10-1, and then they came back, you know, scoring six runs in the eighth and ninth inning, but obviously not being enough, and then got shut out in game five to lose the World Series. And then, I mean, game three, I think I watched probably the most of it, and it was, you know, I thought Arizona pretty much had, they had some chances and stuff like that. I think that was also the game in which I think Matt Scherzer pitched, and then he got hit with a line drive comeback that took him out of the game at, I think, the end of the third. Yeah, I think he pitched those, I think he pitched three innings. And then, what was it? Adolis Garcia, I think, also exited that game, and I believe the seventh or eighth, after hitting, it was like a foul ball or pop up, kind of to tell that he, something was not right as he was trying to, like, you know, grabbing his thigh. I think it was a oblique or a bat or something like that, that he hurt. So I guess it was pretty big for, like, you know, the Rangers to win it in five games and not have to go seven, because the Rangers took both of those players off their postseason roster, so, like, they wouldn't have been available, you know, if it did go to a winner take all game seven. But, you know, Tetsas won. Corey Seager won his second World Series MVP trophy. And now, you know, we're in the offseason, and Tetsas, let's try and be the first repeat World Series winner since the Yankees won three in a row from 1998 to 2000. We'll see what they do. I don't really know who they have as free agents. I mean, position player wise, like pitching, I don't think I know that either. I know they'll get Jacob DeGrom back. I think it's around June or maybe the All-Star break of next year. I think it was Tommy John or something like that. Surgery that he needed early into the season. So, yeah. Might get a little bit more. I don't, because, like, yeah, World Series are over. It's over. And now, you know, it's offseason. So now we kind of, you know, players are kind of either opting out or opting in of contracts. We have qualifying offers being given out to players. And kind of stuff like that as we kind of get closer to, you know, the Nets bit. Then we'll have, like, the winter meetings. That'll be Nets month. That's kind of a big starting point for all, like, you know, the, like, free agent signings and maybe some trade, off-season trades and stuff like that. But we might see some, like, you know, maybe, like, some re-signings and stuff like that before that. But there's usually in, you know, like, the past 5 years, so for baseball, there hasn't been any crazy, you know, free agent signings or trades prior to those winter meetings. So that's, you know, kind of what we'll keep up with. I mean, you know, if something does happen, you know, we'll discuss it, talk about it, but, like, I don't expect there to be anything too crazy until around that time. Nothing as crazy as what happened yesterday with some manager being hired. We have Steven Vaught was hired for the Cleveland Guardians. Carlos Mendoza was hired for the New York Mets. And then the shocker of the baseball world was the Chicago Cubs firing David Ross and then hiring manager from division rival Milwaukee Credit Council, and it was a record 5-year, $40 million deal, the most ever for a manager, I believe. So yeah, cash, big shot. It seemed like Council was either going to return to Milwaukee next year, or, like, if he did go somewhere else, it seemed like maybe the Mets were the likely candidate, as David Stearns, the former, I believe, president of baseball operations for the Brewers for, what was he, like, four, 5 years, something like that. It was a decent amount of time. Is now over with the Mets, so that's kind of where people thought maybe if he didn't go back to Milwaukee, he would go there, you know, team up with a former, you know, someone he knew, you know, from his Milwaukee days and stuff like that, but decides to go in the division to the rival Cubs. And I mean, as being a Cubs fan, Brewers fans as well, I didn't expect that to happen. Because I know we signed David Ross to, I believe, a contract extension prior to last season. I think it was like a 3-year, 4-year deal, something like that. So, I mean, it kind of shifts the momentum into our favor, as it's definitely a winnable division. As, you know, Milwaukee has some decisions to make. I mean, they just lost their manager. Brandon Woodruff, like their number two starter, is out for all of next year with an injury. And, you know, they have some key players like Corbin Burns, who's a Cy Young winner, Willie Adames, I think someone else, are free agents after next season. Closer slash relief pitcher Devin Williams is a free agent after 2025 season. So, a lot of decisions to be made, and, you know, they, depending on how they do next season, you know, they might try and trade some of those players who are going to be free agents at the end of the year and get something out of them, or maybe go for one last ride with them and then see if they can maybe re-sign one. To Milwaukee, they're not going to re-sign everyone. It's just not how they do. Being a small market team, that's just not how they work. They just, you know, they pretty much have to decide who they want to re-sign and stuff like that. So that's pretty much the baseball news. I mean, with that happening yesterday, that kind of takes us probably enough baseball excitement for a while. But yeah, I don't think we'll have anything happening for a while now. Until those winter meetings are, you know, maybe close to the end of the month, but that's probably about it. So yeah, I want to do NBA kind of early recap. Like I said, yeah, we're 2 weeks into the season. So every team has played, you know, it's around 7 to 8 games, about that. Maybe, I mean, it's about 6 to 8 games around that range. You know, to start, and then we kind of, you know, we'll pick up the pace as we go. But, you know, there's that. I mean, we did have a, was it last? Yeah, it was like late last week we had a trade with the Clippers acquiring James Harden from the Philadelphia 76ers. Philly gets, I think they did 2 first round picks like later down the road, as well as some, you know, kind of bench players and role players and stuff like that. I think Philly also sent another player besides Harden to LA, but, you know, he said he wanted to be traded pretty early into the summer, or, you know, summer slash offseason for the NBA. And, you know, the Clippers were like his number one destination that he wanted to go to. And, you know, I think they were talking before the season. Couldn't, you know, exactly come to an agreement. But, like, I think, you know, they were still talking, like, you know, with interest and stuff like that. But had to try and figure out what exactly to make it work. And then, you know, it happened last week. So, I guess both teams kind of, in a way, did what they wanted. Clippers get their third, you know, all-star player to go along with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, who probably the healthiest they've been in a couple of seasons. You know, the Clippers are currently 3-3, 7th in the West. But yeah, you know, it being 2 weeks in, you know, now teams haven't played that many games, you know, they played six, so that's 76 more games to play for them. But, you know, it'll be interesting. It just makes the West a lot more, even more competitive and, you know, wild. And, you know, teams in the Western Conference are going to really have to go all out each game from the get-go now. Because, like, you know, these games could be the difference of, you know, standings of having to play, do that play-in tournament or hosting, like, a first-round playoff series come, you know, playoff time. But season-wise surprises, I mean, I mean, in the East, it's pretty much, you know, as it we expected. Though, I mean, Philly, despite, you know, not having, or James Harden not playing, and then just being traded, you know, they're 5-1. Tied, well, they have the same record as Boston, who's in the first place in the conference. Philly's second, probably because they have a slightly worse conference record. I mean, Boston's 5-0, Philly's, you know, 3-1, so, you know, respectable. Milwaukee is third at the record of 4-2. Atlanta, Indiana, Orlando round out the top six. In the play-in tournament, we have Cleveland, New York, Toronto, Brooklyn, and then on the outside looking in is Miami and Chicago. I don't expect Toronto and Brooklyn to stay in there. Just because they're kind of like, you know, in some rebuilding kind of phase, with Brooklyn having traded, like, you know, well, in these past two seasons, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Fred VanVleet left in free agency this past season, offseason for Toronto. And, I mean, we know, I mean, Miami's 3-4, they're going to bounce back. Chicago's 3-5, you know, they're a play-in tournament team. And then everyone else in that conference is kind of like, you know, rebuilding or kind of like, you know, seeing where they are currently. The West, I mean, is always going to be fun. And, like, yeah, I expect Philly to probably bump down a little bit. And then Milwaukee and Boston being those two teams for that, you know, best record in the Eastern Conference throughout the season. Milwaukee 4-2, you know, respectable start to the season. You know, they've had, I mean, training for Damian Lillard, it's still to be an adjustment. So, you know, we'll kind of see more so of how they are playing together, you know, with a month or two into the season, as opposed to, like, you know, right now with 2 weeks. West, in first is the reigning NBA champs, Denver Nuggets, at record 7-1. Not really surprising, you know. Dallas is the second seed with a record 6-1. Their only loss coming to Denver last Friday in their opening game of the NBA in-season tournament that they're doing this year, you know, Jimmy and Joe. So, and, you know, those games not only count for this tournament, but also they do count towards the regular season standings and all that. Golden State is in third, 6-2. Minnesota is fourth with a record 4-2. And then we have New Orleans and Oklahoma City rounding out the top six. And then the Clippers, Houston Rockets, Suns, and Lakers round out the are currently in that play-in tournament seeding. Houston probably will fall out, I believe. We'll see. The top six, yeah, that's not entirely shocking. I think that I expect kind of LA and, or LA Clippers, I should say. Well, maybe both LA teams and then Phoenix kind of going there. because this West is gonna be so stacked that, you know, some teams are gonna make that first six seeds and not have to worry, and then, you know, some teams, you know, even maybe a championship contender will have to do the play-in tournament and hope, you know, for the best. I mean, we'll have the trade deadline, so see if that kind of, you know, can separate teams. But, like, the trade deadline's always, like, for, like, the NBA, it's, like, with a month and a half, like, just a little over a month left into the season, pretty much. Like, you have one full month, and it's, like, a week into, you know, April, and then we have, like, you know, playoff time will start and stuff like that, so I'm not surprised it's not, like, you know, early February, like, before the All-Star break. But I guess that's kind of what it is and how it's been for as long as I've been watching NBA. So, a bit shocked is Memphis being in last in the West. They're 1-6. I mean, John Morant serving his 25-game suspension. They did trade for Marcus Smart? Yeah. From Boston, and like a 3-team trade that they did. As you know, Memphis tried to, like, you know, make up for some ground to, like, you know, hold over that position of point guard until Ja Morant comes back. So we'll see how they go. They also had, I think, lost one of their centers. I don't know if he was, like, I think it was their starting center, I think it's Steven Adams, for the year. Had some injuries. Was hoping to, during the offseason, like, you know, to rehab and, you know, do stuff like that and not need surgery. Turns out he needs surgery. We'll miss the rest of the entire season, you know. So, we'll see how that goes, and then we'll see how this Ja Morant thing goes, as, you know, with the past two. You know, his off-the-court stuff that happened last year, he's pretty much on very thin ice with the organization and the NBA, I would imagine. So, you know, if Memphis continues to play at this rate and, you know, maybe be in line for the top pick in next year's draft, they might try and move on from Morant and stuff like that. But, you know, we'll see, you know, we're still very early, and, you know, we'll have kind of more. I mean, if they're still kind of struggling, like, a month and a half into the season, then, you know, we can probably have a talk, you know, regarding what their plans would be for, like, you know, the draft, and maybe they would, what they would do. But, I mean, their playoff caliber team, they've just been struck with not just injuries, but just also off the court, you know, issues that have derailed them these past 2 years. So, but that's where, I mean, and then let's see, yeah. And the Spurs, Victor Wembanyama, pretty exciting. Brought some, like, you know, excitement into that organization. You know, they're 3-4. In 11th in the West, you know, point differential of -11.3. But, you know, I mean, he's gonna play a little bit more better defensively and stuff like that, which having a 7'5" center will do. But, you know, they know they're probably gonna be in, like, an early round pick next year, like, you know, lottery again. So just trying to develop and go from there. And now we get to do 2 weeks of NFL recap, baby. So, we had, now I have to go back to week 8 and be like, what, who played who and stuff like that. So yeah, the Bills rebounded their week 7. Did they play week 7? They lost to someone. Bad. Oh yeah, the Patriots. They won Thursday Night Football against the Buccaneers. We had the Vikings beat the Packers 24-10 at Lambeau, in a game in which Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles and will miss the rest of the season. So that was very possibly his last game as a Minnesota Viking. We'll see. His contract expired, and he was like, I do not want to be traded. I will not be traded anywhere. So we had that. And then they traded for Joshua Dobbs. Kind of a career, bench player, backup QB, emergency QB type of situation. That was last Tuesday on Halloween was the trade deadline. So we have some trades we can talk about. Nothing too crazy like last year with like Christian McCaffrey going from the Panthers to the 49ers. But still pretty active, if not crazy, NFL trade deadline this year. We had the Broncos beating the Chiefs 24-9, giving the Chiefs their second loss of the season and their first since week one, opening night of the season. Dolphins took care of the Patriots 31-17. Jets needed a field goal in overtime to beat the bad New York Giants in a battle of New York football teams. Jaguars beat the Steelers. Titans beat the Falcons with rookie Will Lewis throwing for 4 touchdowns and no interceptions in his first career start, I believe it was. Panthers got their first win of the season against the Texans. Cowboys destroyed the Rams 43-20. Saints beat the Colts. Eagles survived the Commanders 38-31. Seahawks beat the Browns. Ravens beat the Cardinals. Bengals beat the 49ers. And the Chargers beat the Bears. And then Monday Night Football, the Lions beat the Raiders. So yeah, surprises. Pretty much, Broncos beating the Chiefs. We had the Panthers getting their first win of the season. Well, they were playing the Texans, so they were a battle of the first two picks from this year's draft. And Bryce Young of the Panthers and C.J. Stroud of the Texans, who C.J. Stroud went off this past week, throwing for 5 touchdowns, close to 500 yards, including like the last game-winning touchdown pass with like only a couple seconds left to go. So definitely pretty much the clear front runner for, offensive rookie of the year for the NFL. Ravens dominated, they beat the Cardinals and not as dominant of a performance as the previous week when they played the Lions. But the Ravens are trying to quietly establish themselves as, a very serious contender. Lamar Jackson doing his thing. He went off for 4 total touchdowns in that win against the Lions with these past 2 weeks. Nothing too crazy. Hasn't really had to do a whole lot as the run game from, just Edwards, who had 5 touchdowns over these past 2 games. And kind of carrying the team. And, kind of have the hot hand, and you'll, just keep running the ball. Same with, a receiver. If they're, going off, and they have, a touchdown or two in that team, you just kind of keep throwing the ball their way and go out, with your best player. And this was, the Bengals beat the 49ers. I think that was the 49ers' 3rd straight loss after starting the season 5-0. They did make a trade. They acquired Chase Young, who was the 2nd overall pick in the, 2020 draft or 2019 draft, to help booster a defensive line that's always been kind of like a, mainstay of the Niners I mean, recently over these past years, their front seven has mainly been their strength, and their secondary is kind of, you know, relied on the fact that they can get, you know, these pressure on, like, the quarterbacks and sats so that they don't, you know, have to, like, play around with, like, a scramble drill from the quarterback and try and have to follow these receivers around the field and, you know, don't want to lose sight of them and give up a big play. Yeah, week eight, pretty much how I expected. I would, you know, I mean, a bit surprised with, like, the Bengals beating the Niners and the Broncos beating the Chiefs and stuff like that. But everyone else, you know, kind of how it went. Past week nine, started with the Steelers beating the Titans 20-16 on Thursday Night Football. We had the Chiefs beating the Dolphins in Germany, Frankfurt, Germany, 21-14. Chiefs jumped up to a 21-0 lead, including stripping and recovering a fumble, recovering a fumble for a touchdown off of Tyreek Hill, a former Chiefs player. And then, yeah, they let Trent McDuffie, setting your cornerback, stripped it and picked it up, lateraled it to Brian Cook, who returned it for a touchdown. And then the Chiefs, you know, held on to win that game over a Dolphins team that has, you know, yet again struggled to beat these top teams in the AFC, losing to now the Chiefs and the Bills this year. Kind of struggled a little bit offensively after putting up, you know, 70 points on a very bad Denver Broncos team, especially defense. You know, other than, like, Pat Surtain second and then Justin Simmons in the secondary, there's not a whole lot going on there. Having traded, like, you know, Von Miller and Bradley Chubb these past two seasons. So that's probably where they might be looking for come draft time as a, you know, pass rusher, or if they do offense, maybe like an offensive tackle. Packers ended their losing streak and as watching a pretty boring of a game, 20-3. Ravens destroyed the Seahawks 37-3. Browns pitched a shutout, beating the Cardinals 27-0. Texans beat the Buccaneers 39-7. Thanks to, like I said, C.J. Stroud throwing 5 touchdown passes, almost 500 yards. Saints beat the Bears 24-17. Vikings beat the Falcons 31-28. Thanks to newly acquired quarterback Joshua Dobbs, who started, you know, like I said, after being acquired from the trade deadline, which was last Tuesday. Didn't take a whole lot of snaps on the first team as the Vikings were going to start their rookie fifth-round pick, I believe, from this year. This draft was going to start. Didn't play really anything. And I think played one series before getting injured, and then Josh Dobbs had to come in and take it from there. Leading them to a last-second touchdown, game-winning touchdown. In that game, Commanders beat the Patriots 20-17. Colts beat the Panthers 27-13. Raiders destroyed the Giants 30-6. Eagles survived a tight division game against the Cowboys 28-3. Bengals beat the Bills 24-18, and last night the Chargers destroyed the Jets 27-6. So that's where we stand week after week nine. We're halfway through the season, as there's 18 weeks, 17 games now. Standings, not much has changed since, you know, we last I mean, we have some divisions that are kind of interesting, like the AFC South and West, but like it's pretty much the Chiefs and Jaguars divisions to lose. The AFC North is very interesting. Everyone's above 500 with Ravens having a 1.5 game lead over everyone else, as they're 7-2, and everyone else in the division is 5-3. AFC East, Miami has a 1-game lead over Buffalo, but Buffalo, I believe, has the tiebreaker as they beat Miami. Right, I think. And then the Jets are 4-4, so kind of still in there. NFC, the East, pretty much, I mean, the Eagles are the clear the front runners. That's what, a 2.5 game lead over Dallas, as well as having the tiebreaker from beating them this weekend. Though, I mean, they are a division rival, so they will play later this year in Dallas. NFC North, it's, you know, the Detroit's to lose. They're 6-2. Minnesota's 5-4, but like the loss of Kirk Cousins, well, and like it was an exciting win this weekend, but like that loss of Kirk Cousins will pretty much kill any playoff odds they have. I mean, though, if Dobbs now having like a full week of practice, or will have had a full week of practice, you know, learning this playbook and stuff like that in the offense, to maybe like, you know, steady the ship for the time being, maybe make a wild card run, as they will be getting Justin Jefferson from the IR. Maybe next week, maybe after this week, he's able to come off. So, when you compare that up with, you know, Jordan Addison has played really well as a rookie so far this season. You know, you have TJ Hawkinson, kind of a run name, not really, but like, you know, it's a passing lead in the NFL anyway. So, I mean, you know, having those weapons, you know, to make any shot of, give any shot of any team defensively, you know, and they might require to win these shootouts. But, you know, NFC South, we have New Orleans leading with a record of 5-4. Atlanta's 4-5. Tampa Bay is 3-5. And then Carolina is 1-7. And then the NFC West, pretty much going to be come down to the Niners and Seahawks. I think the Niners are the better team, just from like defensively, and maybe they have a slight edge offensively. I mean, I think Seattle might have the better receiving core. As for like, you know, San Francisco is pretty much George Kittle and Deebo Samuel, and like Brandon Ayuk, which are, they're all solid. Deebo, I think, has been injured, but they just, San Francisco just had their bye this past week, so gives them a chance to come, or to, you know, get healthy, come back. And with the trade deadline, they just, you know, acquiring Chase Young, you know, improves the D line a little bit, and it's all about kind of rushing the passer. If you can rush the passer, you have a pretty good shot. And then, you know, Seattle, you know, they're a solid team, but they're like, yeah, not really a division winner, more of like a wild card team, I would say. And then, you know, the Rams, third, which are 3-6. You know, clearly kind of a rebuild transition. I mean, Matt Stafford missed his pass team from injury, so they're trying to stall the offense a little bit. Defense, you know, they're pretty young. Still have Aaron Donald, but like, definitely needs the help. You know, they don't have like Jalen Ramsey and like, you know, Leonard Floyd and Von Miller also on that defense, kind of, you know, take some of that pressure off of like Donald. So, and then Arizona's 1-8. So I'm trying to think. I mean, we talked trade deadline a little bit with that, or for NFL. Yeah, like, nothing too crazy. The Commanders traded both of their kind of pass rushers that were kind of available. Chase Young to the Niners, and then they traded Montez Sweat to the Bears, and then he signed, I believe, a 4-year contract extension or deal with them. Only a couple days after, like, you know, being traded there. So, I mean, it kind of balances out the fact that the Bears sent a 2nd-round pick to Washington, you know, with the fact they're able to, like, you know, trade for this player and then, you know, re-sign him or sign him to a deal. So, you know, I'm not giving up a 2nd-round pick and then, you know, he wants as a free agent, you know, in the offseason. So, like, you know, and pass rush has been kind of a problem, a need for the Bears. They were, like, 31st in the NFL or something like that with, you know, sats and stuff like that. So, I mean, they'll still probably, you know, could use some pass rush and stuff like that. But, like, you know, at least, you know, gives them something. And, like, you know, they have their first-round pick this year as well as, you know, the Panthers' first-round pick from the trade that, you know, they made with them to get the Bears' first-round pick this year's draft. So, and both teams play each other this week on Thursday Night Football, so that's kind of interesting. So, I mean, it's a pretty good situation for, like, the Bears, regardless if they lose. You know, if they lose, you know, I mean, it does kind of kill their, you know, draft status for, like, the Panthers' pick, but, like, or improves their, you know, pick for the Panthers. It kind of ruins their own. I mean, it'd still be a top 10 pick, but maybe not a second top 5 pick. But yeah, I mean, we're halfway through the season, so, like, we kind of know. We're still, like, you know, figuring out the order of the draft, but it seems like it's, you know, very possibly going to be, like, either the Cardinals, Bears, or maybe, like, the New York Giants having that number one overall pick. You know, if it's any of those teams, you know, getting it, they'll have to answer some questions in regards to quarterback, as if, you know, maybe they do with, like, you know, top, you know, quarterback in the draft, and, you know, pretty much who a lot of people think will go over, number one overall, Caleb Williams, you know, quarterback from USC. You know, it'd be, you know, would these teams, you know, would the Cardinals draft him, trade Kyler Murray? Would the Bears draft him, trade Justin Fields? Would the Giants draft him and trade Daniel Jones or do something with that, who just signed a contract extension this past offseason as well? So, you know, decisions to be made regardless of that. I'm trying to think what else we had trade deadline-wise. Like, nothing's really coming to mind. I mean, yeah, nothing too crazy. So, yeah, and that's a wrap. Pretty much all I had for this week, you know. We're at, like, 40 minutes, which, I mean, is what I want to be around that kind of time. I mean, it'll be shorter than that because I have to, like, you know, edit this and stuff like that. But, you know, same time as next week, you know, we'll again do more NFL, NBA. Now that baseball's over, I mean, we might cover a little bit. I mean, we'll cover, like, the offseason and free agency and stuff like that, you know, as stuff happens, you know. But, you know, we'll probably do a little bit of college football as we have about a month left of the season. With that, before we, you know, we'll have early December's, like, championship, you know, conference championship week, you know, weekend. So that those title games will be, like, that Friday and Saturday. And then they'll announce the college football playoff final rankings. So then the top 4 teams, you know, will make it to the college football playoff, you know, play for the national championship. And then the bowl games, you know, kick off mid-December. So, and then college basketball just recently started up again. I think it was over the weekend. Nothing too crazy happening. I mean, we kind of have next week, we'll have, like, a kickoff as we have, like, kind of some major, like, you know, championship teams, you know, or teams that have won quite a bit over, like, you know, their school's history, you know, play each other that they do every year. So I think it's I want to say it's like Duke and Michigan State and then Kansas and then someone else. Like, yeah, they do like kind of like, you know, back-to-back, you know, ranked team games and stuff like that. So it's kind of like their kickoff officially, even though they'll be about a week and a half into the season type of thing. But so that'll give us something else to kind of cover as we get kind of, you know, starting more into the college basketball season and then, you know, college football wrapping up. So yeah, that's where we stand in weeks to come. So thanks for listening and have a good one.